This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home. This little piggy had roast beef. This little piggy had none. This little piggy went wee, 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 all the way home. And this little piggy burned down the New World Order. Let me see your war face, Schumer. Let me see your war face, Obama. Let me see your war face. Because what you're seeing from Trump and what you're seeing from people all over the world is our war face. And it's not just a face. It reflects the internal eruption. So good luck. But I myself into the hands of God. And I pray on the altar of God that I be given the discernment and the will and the strength and the support to remove the chains from humanity. So let's never forget the business that we are about and the time in which we live. They want to break our will. Don't just survive and persevere and not let them break your will. Instead, take the weight of their assault and use it as a tool to strengthen every fiber of your psyche, your soul, and who you are. And pledge with me, eternal resistance over every form of tyranny that has attacked the mind of man. And pledge, as he pledged 250 years ago, the great architect of our republic, Thomas Jefferson, I have sworn on the altar of God, eternal resistance against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Make that pledge and feel the universe open up. Step into the space-time continuum and realize we're sharing that same moment with Thomas Jefferson now. There is no past, there is no present, there is no future. There is only one endless, timeless moment. And absorb the void, and you will be there staring back at God.
Are the people that got killed of 963, how many do you think were black?
600, like maybe Hispanic.
600 black. What would you say?
Probably like 500.
Here we go. This is a thinking class right now. I'm walking you through some thinking. Okay, go to the next one. So how many of the 963 people were unarmed? How many do you think were unarmed? Here we go. Go to the next slide. So here are the numbers. You said 400, we're unarmed. You said 500, we're unarmed. What do you think about that number?
I'm actually kind of like shocked. I honestly thought like, I'm not saying like the media, like, I don't know, they just made it seem like, you know, the guy was innocent, you know. It's crazy how 517 had a gun. I would think it would be less than that.
So 22 out of 233 black people who police killed in 2016 were unarmed. 22. So that means you have a 0.6 chance in a million of being unarmed, black skin, and killed by the police. If he stays unarmed, you say, bro, listen, despite of how you're dressed, despite of who you are, if you remain unarmed, right, that's the likelihood of you being killed by the police. If you're going to protest like that, but this whole thing is based on police violence against black and brown people. So if you're going to protest, really step out in this way, you got to know what you're protesting. Is it a genocide? So when I see someone holding a sign up that says, stop the genocide of black people at a protest, and I'm saying, I wouldn't call that a genocide. There's a lot happening here, but that's not what I would call it. It's really important that we know what we're talking about so that we can be confident and have realistic and good conversations.
Clapper.
Please, if you give my details, that basically means I don't have my grounds of arrest, which is code G. If you don't give me your name and address, I have grounds to arrest you. Google it, it's code of practice.
I'm being reasonable with you, sir. Okay. Before I give my details, I'd just like to ask some questions. Okay.
Is it in relation to this?
Absolutely. That's what
I'm... Okay. Yeah. So before we get to the questions, can I just get your details and then we'll go there?
So what I said before is before I give my details, I'd like to ask you some questions because I don't understand what's happening.
Okay. What do you need to understand?
Thank you. So you referred to there being a hate crime, right?
Okay. I only have to tell you the allegation. I don't have to tell you
that's
exactly
fine.
What it is.
There's an allegation of a hate crime.
Of an allegation that someone's felt alarmed, distressed in a public place.
Public place, okay.
Okay. So, public place.
Okay, so someone felt the section is actually harassment.
alarmed, and distressed.
And distressed.
Yes. Okay. Obviously, I have to go find out the
Thank
exact
you.
Facts.
Thank
and
you.
So on. So you're not giving me an opportunity to do that right now.
No, you keep interrupting when I'm talking. But I allowed you to speak.
You're not.
Yeah. So you finished, or can I speak?
You can speak.
Thank
but,
you. Yeah. So before I give my detail, I just want to understand clearly what's happening. So, sir, so you're saying that someone from the member of the public has called you, saying that they have received harassment, alarm, and distress because of a hate crime. Is that what you're saying?
What are you trying to say? Are you trying to quote them in exact words?
Huh?
Are you trying to quote them in exact words?
I'm understanding what's happening.
Okay, let me clarify.
Thank you.
Let me clarify. I have not met the victim.
Okay.
Yet.
Okay, you've not met them.
Like I said, I've spoken to them on the phone.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't have to disclose my investigation.
I never said you did.
I don't have to disclose the full allegation.
I never said you did, sir.
Right now. I still need to establish the full facts of offences.
That's right. I just want to know for myself.
Right now, there's an allegation. Yeah. Based on the current allegation, I am telling you, I am going to go do my investigation.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask one more time. Are you going to give your name and address?
I am going to give you my details.
Do you have ID with you as well?
I'm going to give you my details.
Thank
now,
you.
Now, sir, what I'm trying to understand before I give my details is that, like I was saying, so someone called you reporting harassment, alarm, and it's just
so let's clarify. Someone's called us.
Okay, wait.
People call us because they obviously have a reason.
So wait, wait.
So I am going to...
One second. I'm speaking. So,
after the recent ban of Muslim Brotherhood in Jordan, I have a message to Western countries that still hosts the Brotherhood leaders and members. It's a message from those who know. The Muslim Brotherhood is not just a political movement. It is the ideological mother of some of the deadliest terrorist groups in the modern world. Since its founding, the Brotherhood has been crystal clear about its mission. Not reform, but domination. Not coexistence, but conquest. Throughout its history, violence has followed. In 1948, Brotherhood members assassinated Egyptian Prime Minister Mahmoud al-Nuqrashi. In 1979, their Syrian branch massacred 83 military cadets in the Aleppo Artillery School, targeted simply for belonging to the Alawite minority. In 1982, their uprising in Hama, Syria, triggered a battle that left tens of thousands dead. And in the 90s, Brotherhood ideologies inspired Al-Qaeda and other jihadi groups that carried out attacks across the Middle East and beyond. Yet, despite this bloody history, many Western countries still host Brotherhood leaders, treating them as moderates, allowing them to spread their ideology under the cover of religious freedom. This is a mistake, a deadly mistake. Europe, America, and the free world must understand the Muslim Brotherhood does not respect democracy. They use it until they are strong enough to replace it. Extremists do not come offering peace. They come offering destruction, first for their declared enemies, and then for the societies that gave them shelter. If you do not heed the warnings from Egypt, Jordan, Israel, and others who have seen the true face of the Brotherhood, you could be next. God forbid. History has already written the warning. Now, the question is, will you listen? Extremism thrives when good people stay silent.
Finally, there's some more people standing up against the Muslims that are trying to take over Dearborn, Michigan. Watch this.
Noah Mullins, Grand Rapids. Council, I have the privilege of serving as the Turning Point USA chapter president at Grand Valley State University in Allendale, Michigan, and I have traveled home tonight to speak with you because of how disturbed I am by recent events in this city. On September 8, 2025, leaders of this city made their allegiance clear. Osama Sablani is a terrorist sympathizer, full stop. I speak on behalf of Americans everywhere when I say that renaming the corner of Warren Avenue and Chase to honor this individual stands against everything this great country represents. Americans do not stand by silently when Hamas and Hezbollah terrorists slaughter innocent men, women, and children. Neither does Mr. Sablani. But instead of denouncing these terrorist organizations like Americans should, he describes Hamas as freedom fighters and describes the former leader of Hezbollah as a hero. I was born in this city and I no longer recognize my beloved Dearborn. On September 9th, Mayor Hamoud decided to add insult to injury and rebuke a Dearborn resident who brought to light this very issue. Mayor, know that your rebuke of me will fail to make me yield and that you have revealed your true nature to all of us. As if these two events weren't enough, the city has also decided to not enforce their own noise ordinances by allowing the Islamic call to prayer from local mosques at times as early as 5:30 a.m. Men and women across America are waking up to the state of our city and all eyes are on Dearborn. I'm a 22-year-old man, but I am willing to give all of myself and even my life to the defense of my land, my people, my Lord, and my future wife and children. My future wife and children deserve to live in a safe and prosperous Metro Detroit like I did growing up. If our region is to continue down the path of Dearborn and Hamtramck, what will become of us? Will our culture be diluted and erased like we are currently witnessing in Europe? The peoples of Europe are the siren call to us here in America. Do not let Islamic culture dominate our own. This is the unfortunate scenario we find ourselves in, but I am proud to be one of the many voices that will warn my fellow countrymen of this impending threat, starting in the city I was born, Dearborn. This city put the world on wheels and helped make the state of Michigan the powerhouse that it is. How then does it fall from such grace? It is because we have let this city be overrun by so-called leaders who don't adhere to the Christian and American values that made the West the greatest society the world has ever known. I will certainly use my voice to defend our way of life, and it shall not be silenced in life or death. In ending, I say to those of you who will slander my character and drag my name through the press for what I have said here tonight, know this. To be Islamophobic is to fear Islam, and I will never fear it. As the great Nathan Hale once said, I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless all of you, our great nation, and our brothers and sisters across the sea in Europe. Our Lady of the Rosary, pray for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
For more content to help you with your Christian walk, be sure to follow, like, and subscribe.